Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
What? You're not?
No, but he is my favorite conservative.
Really?
Yes, really.
It's like the first time you've ever told me that.
Thank you
so much.
Oh, you're welcome. All right.
Well, since we didn't have a live show last week.
No, we did not.
We did not. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead here, but go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, this is you.
Yeah, but we were going to save that one.
Okay, keep going.
Andrea was traveling.
Yes.
And so we actually taped another show, but we did make some predictions at the end of the show 2 weeks ago about who Donald Trump's running mate would be.
Yes, we both made our guesses at the same time. We did a 1-2-3 who Trump's VP choice would be. I predicted J.D. Vance, and Edward thought it would be Doug Burgum.
So the winner is
me. I won.
You won. Good call. That was who I was hoping, but I really didn't want to wish too much for it because then it wouldn't come true.
Okay.
Right?
All right. We are really happy to be back. And we are going to start, as we always do from now until the election, with the latest polling. Now, just keep in mind, the first number we're giving you is Trump versus Biden. The second number we're giving you is Trump versus Harris. And we'll talk more about potential. I can't even say it.
Yeah. And the reason we're doing this, we didn't have the live show last week, so we didn't have the poll numbers. And this actually gives us a better representation of where Kamala is now, because last week things were really up in the air and nobody really knew. So,
yes. So the Real Clear Politics, our favorite RCP national average, Trump versus Biden. The last time Trump was up 2.9. Now Trump versus Harris, Trump is still up, but he has dropped a little. He's up 1.7. And again, that's the national average.
Okay. And we always do this day in history. So
yes,
we look back on this particular day back in 2020 and 2016.
Do tell.
Last time in 2020, Biden had the lead of 9.0. So he was up 9% in the polls.
9 points.
9 points in the poll.
Over Trump.
And in 2016, Trump was actually up 0.9. And I have to stand corrected. On many episodes, I have said in the past that Trump had never led a presidential election. And he did briefly back at the end of July in 2016. It was because Hillary was having massive issues still with her email scandal.
Yes.
And so I stand corrected for the record.
All right. Very nice.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get to the battleground states. Again, the first number is Trump versus Biden. The second number is Trump versus Harris. So it's really fascinating. So let's start with Pennsylvania, which is going to be really critical. 2 weeks ago, Trump versus Biden, Trump was up 5.3. Now Trump versus Harris, he's still ahead, 4.5. But definitely a little drop there.
A little bit, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And let's stay on the East Coast with North Carolina. 2 weeks ago, Trump versus Biden. Trump was at 5.8. Today, Trump versus Harris. He's still up 5.7. To me, there's no statistically significant drop there. And so I'm pretty confident Trump will take North Carolina.
Yeah, both of those states are outside the margin of error in there. So
okay. Yeah. All right. So tell us about Georgia.
Let's go down south to Georgia.
Yes, our neighbor.
Our neighbor to the east. Yes. Trump was up against Biden 2 weeks ago, 4.0. He maintains the same over Kamala Harris.
And but the Midwest is a different picture.
Midwest.
Give us the
Midwest.
Yes, yes,
Midwest. Let's go to Michigan first. 2 weeks ago, Trump against Biden, he was up 0.6. And now, 2 weeks later, against Kamala Harris, he is up 2.1. So that's a big jump.
Yep.
Yeah. In Wisconsin, their neighbor, last time Trump was up against Biden, 2.6. He is now up 3.3.
That is a huge jump. Another big move there.
Yeah. Why don't you take us out west?
All right. So 2 weeks ago in Nevada, Trump was up 5.2. He has increased that lead against Harris to 5.6. And then Arizona, Trump 2 weeks ago against Biden was up 5.4 points. He has increased that as well against Harris to 5.8. So overall, what's really fascinating is that he's still ahead.
He is
in the battleground states.
The only thing that he's really down in is the national polling.
The average.
And that's, again, that's just kind of a popularity thing.
Yes.
And the battlegrounds are where it's going to be at.
And on predictit.org, my favorite, because that's where people actually put their money where their mouth is and gamble on these races. Not that I'm endorsing gambling, but it is fun. Trump is ahead. And again, this is in money, but think of it as points. 54 to Harris, 48. Now, that is a significant increase for the Democratic Party, because basically it's the Republican nominee versus the Democratic nominee on predictit.org. And I think that's the Harris honeymoon.
Yeah, it will be interesting the next few weeks to see how that one goes, because, yeah, people bet. When you're using your actual money,
yes,
a lot of times you're more honest with yourself than you would be with
100%.
A pollster. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So now let's move, since she is supposedly
yes.
the Democratic nominee, Kamala Harris.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about her for a minute. Now, I say supposedly.
Because who the hell knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. So in this last month, it's been crazy. So I would also like to remind, by the way,
yes.
Everyone out there, especially you, that I predicted on our July 1st show, which was the first show after the debate. So this was immediately after the debate where Joe Biden basically crapped the bed.
Oh, yeah. He fell apart.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I predicted that Biden would be forced off the ticket, but would remain as president for the rest of his term. So far, check that.
Yeah.
I also predicted that Kamala Harris would be elevated to the top of the ticket and the media would begin a complete whitewash of her record. They would present her as you know, Cleopatra or whomever, right? This the next great statesperson here. And I think we're seeing that.
Yes, but you're not condescending about your being correct at all.
No. I would never do that.
You know what I think is interesting before I get into why I'm so pissed off about this whole thing with Kamala Harris is, oh gosh, did I just lose my train of thought? I've just lost my train of thought.
Well, in terms of you're talking about democracy working?
No, I'm getting there. Okay. I'm getting there. I was going to say, because this is not in our script, so this is kind of spur of the moment, get your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. There have been some calls for Biden to step down now, because sure. if he's not able to run, even though he didn't really cite his health, we'll get into that. If he's not able to run, then he's not able to govern for the remainder of his term. However, I think that was the deal that was brokered. We're not going to kick you off the ticket. We're not going to 25th Amendment you. We'll let you stay in office, but you can't run again. I think that was the brokered deal.
That was the biggest part of the deal. I think the second part was they will stop going after Hunter Biden.
I think
he'll end up getting amnesty or whatever, or pardoned.
Yeah, and this is speculation on our point, but our part. So anyway, so this coronation of Kamala happened while I was on a business trip in Hawaii. That's why we didn't have a live episode last week, and I am freaking livid.
By the way, you look so tan.
Oh, shut up. All right, for people listening.
The only one that goes to Hawaii comes back.
That's because I wear 70 SPF.
Okay.
Because I don't want to get burnt to a crisp, because that's happened. So here's why I'm really pissed off about this. Voters didn't choose her. Okay. Voters did not choose her. You just don't get to like coordinate somebody. That's not how our system works.
You mean democracy?
Democracy, okay. A republic, right?
That we've heard over and over and
yes.
over from the Democratic Party.
Yes.
Right?
And delegates, okay, since we are a republic, delegates haven't chosen her yet. So the Democratic Convention has not happened yet. So this is not some sort of official thing, but to your earlier point, they are really changing her narrative and whitewashing her history. And here's the thing. This woman has never won a single delegate. When she ran in 2020, she dropped out early because my gal, Tulsi Gabbard, took her down during a debate. And Kamala Harris could not defend her record in California. She couldn't defend it as Attorney General. And now she's suddenly the Veep.
Yeah. What I found fascinating was Chuck Schumer came out to address the media.
Oh, God. Oh,
so
God. Yeah.
Chuck Schumer starts giving this speech, the majority leader in the Senate. And he says that that this is going to choose the presidential nominee, it was going to be a grassroots effort
from
the ground up in the middle out, which is what Biden always says, right? That's one of his patent lines. In the same speech, he now says that process has been completed. Now, this was in within 2 days.
Yes.
Of Joe Biden.
There was no grassroots effort.
Yes. So the grassroots people are who?
Yeah. It's top down. This is top down people.
Yeah.
This was like sky to the ground.
Kamala was making phone calls to all the delegates and especially the super delegates because they get more votes and everything else and wrapping it up. Yeah. So.
Yes. Now, what's interesting, and there have been rumors about this, and again, we'll just speculate. Obama or the Obamas were some of the last well-known Democrats to endorse Kamala Harris. And they really dragged their feet in endorsing her. And that was in the news. That's a fact. Why they dragged their feet?
I think that was intentional. And it was intentional because in my belief, I believe that she or that Barack Obama and Michelle, they were instrumental. They were the impetus behind getting Joe Biden out.
Yes.
They were the ones.
And Pelosi. Pelosi was right there.
Well,
with them.
Because every major person in the White House is an Obama person originally.
That's right.
And Biden's got a few close people right around him that are his people.
And his staffers were shocked.
Oh, yeah.
They were shocked.
And so by delaying his endorsement of her, it kind of put the rumors to rest that, gee, maybe, Obama was behind this. And maybe a little false flag thing there. But
do you remember what else we talked about privately?
What was that?
That we talked about that perhaps Obama dragged his feet because he was hoping to sell Michelle on running, in the actual convention. Because everyone believes Michelle Obama could be President Trump. So that's a possibility too.
It is.
Again, speculation.
Yeah. To me, with her speculation of her and the reason she didn't want it, she supposedly doesn't like politics. But if you don't like politics and it's basically the presidency's handed to you for 4 years, 4 years is going to go by. She's 4 years older now, been living in this microcosm, right? Under the microscope
which she
of
didn't
everything.
Like. Yeah.
And then she has to run for another term because, of course, you can't have the first female Black president not run for re-election. She's saying 8 years of my life. God, no.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No way. So let's talk about we did this with Trump. We've got to do it with Harris. So who do you think she's going to pick for her VP? And I know one of the people you believe is Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. What are the pros to choosing him?
Well, Josh Shapiro, who is the somewhat popular governor, one of the pros is he's only 51 years old.
Oh, Gen Xer.
So,
okay.
Which, if you look at the leadership in the Democrat Party and even a lot in the Republican Party, but the Democrat Party especially, they are ancient.
Yes.
Yes. So it brings the youth, brings a more youthful tone to it. He is a very popular governor, as I said. But Pennsylvania is a huge battleground state.
Yes.
And Pennsylvania kind of sets the tone on possibly how Michigan and Wisconsin would go also. Yeah, they have 19 electoral college votes. That is huge. Yes.
All right, let's talk about the cons.
Let's do it.
He's Jewish. The Democrats have not been the party for Jews.
They have a Jewish problem.
They do. This could potentially choosing Governor Shapiro could alienate the radical pro-Hamas vote.
Yeah. If you want to dissuade younger radicals from coming out to vote for you, this will do it.
Yes.
This will definitely do it. I mean, does that put Minnesota in play for the Republicans? Because they have a huge Somali population there, which Islam, and you're talking Ilhan Omar, one of the squad members who is, pro Hamas and everything else. Yeah.
That could be a problem. And also I think he just doesn't have national name recognition.
Agree. If you go to do a man on the street interview and say, what do you think of Josh Shapiro?
Which one?
Yeah, people are going to say what? Entertainer? What?
Yeah,
what
I think they would say which one.
I have no idea.
It's not an uncommon name.
Yeah, so you'd have, and again, you've got less than 100 days now.
Yes, you got to do this quickly.
And you've got less than 60 days until early voting.
I know. The second person up that's been talked about quite a lot is Mark Kelly, a senator of Arizona. Let's talk about the pros.
Well, again, younger, 60 years old.
So, yeah, not, I mean, a lot
not
younger,
a kid, but yeah. Again, when you're talking 81-year-old Joe Biden.
That's true.
Yeah, he is a popular senator.
Yes.
He is there. He has a good reputation there. I think he won his last race somewhat easily. He is a former astronaut.
Yes.
So there's the alpha male that the Democrats are not normally known for putting on. That's why you won't see a Pete Buttigieg on the ticket.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll take the next
one.
So he's the husband of Gabby Giffords. And I would argue, is it Gifford or Giffords?
Giffords.
Giffords. I would argue that she has even more name recognition because she was shot at. So does that negate Trump's assassination attempt?
Yeah. I mean, she was shot by a deranged leftist at a supermarket event she was doing, and it's been left partially paralyzed, I believe.
Right.
So yeah, that I think that gives him
more credibility
to talk about, you know, guns and things like that, you know, that sort of thing too.
All right.
It is. Arizona is a battleground state.
I would say less of one than Pennsylvania, but yes, it is.
Agreed. They only have 11 electoral college votes.
Yes. And it has been red in the past.
But the big bugaboo with Arizona is
the border.
The border. Yeah.
The border. So it's a pro because maybe he could defend the policies.
Well, that's what a lot of people are thinking, that he gives them more credibility to talk about the border.
Because the border czar, Kamala Harris, can't talk about it.
Well, she's not the border czar.
I know, that's been wiped from Google, but she was. She didn't want to be.
After every mainstream media outlet has called her that, now they're completely walking it back.
I know. So. Oh, and they really are erasing it from Google.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For real. Wow. Let's talk about the cons of Senator Mark Kelly.
Well,
and I think this is the biggest con, the first one you have.
Yeah, he puts a very safe Senate seat back into play in 2026 because his term's up in 2026.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure they would risk that.
They're probably going to lose the Senate this time. And so you're talking a midterm election next time. The odds that it stays with whoever wins it, are pretty high,
okay,
the incumbent. So, yeah. They certainly don't want to lose any more safe seats.
Right.
Yeah.
And you got a couple more cons.
Well,
here.
He is not known as a great orator.
Okay.
I mean,
I didn't know that.
He's an astronaut, more into math, engineering, physics, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
And he, again, like Josh Shapiro, doesn't have great name recognition.
I would say he has better.
Yeah,
he has better name
only because of his wife.
Yes,
originally,
exactly.
That's why he got into the race. He also has a twin brother, by the way, that's an astronaut.
Yeah.
Kind of odd on that.
But, I think that's kind of cool.
But, you know, has Mark Kelly ever been in the talk, in the conversation for a national seat? I mean, above the senator, above, you know, for vice president or president? I've never heard, during the whole primaries, never heard his name mentioned once.
Now, there are other candidates. We're only going to talk about these two. Of these two, I think it would be wiser for them to pick Governor Josh Shapiro of these two.
I'm not going to go against you because you're on a roll here with
I'll
say Kelly.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying, from the pros and cons we've outlined, I think that would be the smarter bit.
Pennsylvania is a way more important
state.
Arizona, but it is.
Yes.
It, you know, again, you're talking 8 more electoral college votes. And if it comes down to a 1 or 2 vote difference, that's a huge difference.
Yes.
Yes.
So let's get to our main show.
Okay.
What are we talking about today? And thankfully, there hopefully will be no more talk of Kamala Harris. So.
Oh, well. Let's not go that far. I thought, because we are living in such an historic time.
We really
now,
are.
Moment that we're living in.
It's crazy.
We need to take a little deeper look into what's happening and take in the significance of where we are right now and what we've been going through.
All right. So let's start with the news that happened while I was in Hawaii, which was just splashed everywhere there in the newspapers. Let's start with President Biden's decision or coercion, I don't know, manipulation, but his decision not to run for re-election. who was the last president to make that decision? Let's talk about him.
But you know what's funny? It's a little backstep here. I was actually speaking with my mother, who is soon to be 90 years old.
Yeah, she's amazing.
About what's going on. She's a history buff and whatnot. And she even said, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to live to 90, but boy, these times that we're living in are just amazing in history. And so we thought we would go back and look at the last president that didn't run for re-election was right. Lyndon Baines Johnson, yes. LBJ.
LBJ. And, so let's talk about the why.
Well, a couple of things.
Yes.
He got primaried originally by Senator Eugene McCarthy.
Yes.
And Senator McCarthy was a huge anti-war voice. And now you're talking 1968.
Yeah.
This is
the height.
The absolute height of the Vietnam War. Absolutely. Yes. Like, yeah. And
no, go ahead and give this.
So, you know, a little timeline here is kind of interesting. On March 12th of that year, 1968, they had the first primary for the Democrats. It was in New Hampshire.
Okay.
Senator McCarthy won 42% of the vote to 48% for LBJ.
So that was close.
Remember when they were talking about RFK challenging Biden, and RFK was getting like 19%, they were freaking out,
yeah.
Right?
Can you imagine
42%? Oh,
so
my Lord.
Then 4 days later,
yeah.
4 days later, Robert F. Kennedy enters the race. Senator at that time? Yeah.
Yeah.
Senator,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, RFK enters the race on March 16th. So now LBJ is dealing with both McCarthy and Kennedy.
Yeah, that primary showed Kennedy said, oh God, he's so weak.
I have a chance. And then tell us what happened next.
So then on March 31st, so we're still in March.
Yes,
right?
we're still in March.
In the same month, which is very similar to what we're going through now.
Absolutely.
We're only talking about a month.
Yeah.
On March 31st, LBJ said his famous line, I shall not seek, nor will I accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
Yeah.
And it stunned everyone. And because he actually gave that pronouncement at the end of a televised speech he was doing about the Vietnam War. And it was in detail on all the things that were going on in Vietnam and what needed to happen and possibly a peace deal and things like that. And then he throws at the very end, like, and you know what, by the way,
yes,
I'm not going to run again.
But tell us like what the generals had told him he would need to do to actually win in Vietnam.
Well, yeah. So the generals had come to him and said, you have to send another 200,000 American troops to Vietnam. And he knew, oh my God, if I do that, I am just toast.
Yeah, so. I think he just wanted out, right? He wanted nothing to do with it. And then that really put Senator Kennedy, in the lead until he was assassinated on June 4th.
Yeah, just a few months later.
Yes. Yeah, so what ends up happening at the 1968 convention? Who gets the nomination?
Hubert Humphrey ends up taking the nomination. He was
away from McCarthy.
Yeah, he was the safer choice. You know, he wasn't as anti-war, wasn't as radical as McCarthy.
Safer choice. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does. Yes. Doesn't 2020? Yes. Hmm. Joe Biden. He's just a normal guy.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Right. So what happens? They nominate Humphrey.
Yeah.
Against Richard Nixon.
Yes.
So this is Nixon's first, you know, run for the White House after he lost in 1960
to
Kennedy. Their second run. Yeah. And
yes.
Nixon beats Humphrey in the Electoral College 301 to 191. In the popular vote, 60% to 37%.
Jesus.
And wait for it. In the number of states, Richard Nixon won 49 states.
Jeez.
To one. The one state that Humphrey won, not even his home state,
no.
Of Minnesota, it was Massachusetts.
Okay.
So, and by the way, this was the last time, 1968 was the last time Minnesota went Republican.
Wow. Okay. Right? Since before I was born.
To this day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we are going to compare Joe Biden to LBJ. And we're going to talk about some differences first, and then I'm going to let Edward talk about the similarities. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
So unlike LBJ, Joe Biden faced no serious primary competition because it wasn't really a primary. In 2020, the primaries were 100% rigged to favor him. And we know they all cut side deals. All those people that were going up against him, except for Tulsi Gabbard, everyone cut side deals to leave. Warren, Sanders, Buttigieg, Harris, right? They all got out.
Well, that was in 2020.
That's what I'm saying, 2020.
Right, yeah.
And there was no primary this year. I mean, there just wasn't one.
Well, yeah.
And they moved South Carolina to be the first primary. I love how they can just shuffle this stuff
around.
Yeah. Like,
so
what
the
hell?
Said,
like,
yeah, let's see. What Biden would probably lose in, or at least be really challenged in Iowa and New Hampshire, which are typically the first two.
Right.
And South Carolina is usually like fourth. I think after Nevada was next normally.
Yeah.
But
and they moved it to
they
first.
Moved it right out. Yep.
Because in 2020, he did well in South Carolina.
Well, that's what put him.
Right.
Because he had finished so poorly in the other ones.
Yes. And then they changed the rules. We were just talking about his father. They changed the rules to force out Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So he wasn't able to compete.
Yeah, they changed the rules. If you remember, you had to have a certain polling. You had to have.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, there were things that just couldn't be attained because they wanted him out. And what he, yeah, he.
So he's running. He's running as a third party candidate.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. which doesn't bode well for him. But
it doesn't.
So, Edward, talk to us now. Those were the differences, right? What were some similarities between Biden and LBJ?
Yeah, so, you know, LBJ obviously had Vietnam.
Yes.
Which was a major problem because you actually had American troops being killed every day on television and everything else. But he also had inflation, too.
Okay.
Believe it or not, there was it was 4% at the time. And you're thinking, well, that's not too bad.
Except.
But we. After this is it was the highest since the end of World War II. And
that's significant.
Yeah, you're talking quite a few years there. And people were upset that, you know, you've got a war going, you everything's costing more. And, you know, it sounds familiar because
yeah, what does Biden have in common?
We have a war on the border, right? You know, letting in all these, but we also have obviously inflation. Biden can't walk away from that, and nor can Harris. And you've got Ukraine, you've got Israel. You know, proxy wars that we're fighting in. And that's how Vietnam started as a proxy war.
Yeah.
You know, FYI.
Both conventions were and are in Chicago. That's really fascinating.
Yeah. Yes. History repeating itself.
It is. All right. And give us the last one because I know this is your favorite.
I thought it was very interesting because, you know, when I talked earlier about LBJ announcing that he was dropping out, he gave this long litany of what was going on in the war and everything else, but never said why he was dropping out. And 2 weeks ago, Biden finally comes out of his shell and talked about, I'm dropping out. It's a time for a new era. Well, that's not why you're dropping out.
Yeah. I don't think it was 2 weeks ago because I was still in Hawaii.
But
like
10 days ago.
Yeah.
But he never, neither one of them actually articulated. And then Biden went on to a speech. Basically, it was a stump speech about bad Republicans and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, neither one of them said, you know, my health is bad or I don't think this is winnable. I'm dropping out. So
yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the candor.
All right. So let's move on to another historical event recently. During our last live episode 2 weeks ago, episode 12, I believe, we discussed, it just happened, the assassination attempt on President Trump. But he is not the first. So we are going to talk about some, and some that I didn't even know, unsuccessful attempts of both presidents and presidential candidates. Edward, take it away.
Well, unfortunately, we have a long history in this country of assassination attempts, but I want to look at unsuccessful assassination attempts of both presidents and presidential candidates.
So you mean people who
people that
not
lived.
The deaths.
Yes. That they missed, they whatever happened. So
okay.
The first one actually was Teddy Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, back in October 2019.
And see, I did not 2019.
1912, excuse me.
2019.
I'm dyslexic today.
All right, October of 1912. And I did not know this one. I do remember that he was running as a third party candidate.
Yeah, he had been a two term president already. He was running as a third term, and it's a great story because
not a third term, a third party.
Third party. Well, it would have been his third term.
Yes.
He had already served two terms,
but he came back on a third party candidate
on the Bull Moose camp as a Bull Moose candidate.
All right,
but, so he was actually in Milwaukee, where the Republican convention is this year.
Yeah,
we'll talk about similarities. Right. And a deranged person came out and shot him in the upper left chest. And
talk about how he survived.
He survived this, because he had not only his speech, which was 50 pages folded in his lapel jacket.
50 folded pages.
He also had a metal glasses case that was in there. The bullet went right through both of them, went into him. And the kind of fascinating part of the story, I'll do it very quickly, is he went down, he gets back up, and the crowd wants to kill this guy, the assassin, the would-be assassin. He says, no, 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 stop, stop, stop. Brings the guy over to him, stares him in the eyes, and said, why did you do this? The guy wouldn't answer, so Roosevelt tells the sheriff, take this man away, make sure he is not hurt, and he ended up spending the rest of his life in prison. So Roosevelt gets in the car, goes to his speech, gives a 50-minute speech before seeking medical attention. I mean,
crazy.
You talk about, oh my Lord. And by the way, he had replaced McKinley originally when McKinley was assassinated. And when the reason McKinley died was because when they tried to take the bullet out of McKinley, he got an infection, which ended up killing him. So Roosevelt knew the bullet wasn't in deep enough, and he left the bullet in him for the rest of his life.
That's wild.
Because he didn't want to undergo the surgery.
Yeah. All right, well, let's stick with the Roosevelts.
Let's do it.
So Franklin D. Roosevelt, in February of 1933, at the time he was president-elect, he had just given a speech in Miami from the back of an open car. That sounds familiar. Why do politicians do open cars?
Yeah, Kennedy didn't learn.
Yes, when gunshots, well, this was before Kennedy, when gunshots rang out, but yes, you're right. He was not injured in the shooting, but it did kill Chicago Mayor Anton Cermak. Now, why was the Chicago mayor in Miami?
He was just down campaigning.
He was stumping.
I mean, he had won the election. And you remember, this is February 33. At that point, 1937 was when we moved the swearing-in ceremonies
to March,
from March to January.
That's right.
Yeah. And you think about that. If he would have been killed.
That would have changed history.
Oh, my word. My God. Yeah. Well, you know, you're talking, you know, World War II and everything, right?
It would have been so different.
Just crazy. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Why don't you give us the next one? Because this was another one that
Let's go. To Harry S. Truman.
And I like him. I do.
Yes. The S stands for nothing, by the way. He just made it up. This was November 1950, and Truman was actually living at Blair House, which is across the street from the White House. And the reason he was living there is they were doing a massive renovation on the White House, and he spent his entire full term in Blair House, never got to stay in the White House after that. But anyway, two gunmen broke in. There was a gun battle. Truman was not injured, but a White House policeman and one of the assailants was killed. Two other policemen were wounded. So it was a serious attempt. People broke in there and started guns blazing. Yeah.
All right. I'll do the next one in protest. I didn't feel like this person should even be here, but he was a presidential candidate.
Democrat.
Yes. And racist. George Wallace in May of 1972, still before I was born. I'm just saying. Wallace was seeking the Democratic presidential nomination when he was shot during a campaign stop in Maryland. And that incident left him paralyzed from the waist down, and he did not go on to get the nomination.
He did not. And may I say, George Wallace, Democrat, governor of Alabama, racist. Democrat, governor, Alabama, racist.
Okay, but not everyone who lives in Alabama is racist.
No.
Or a Democrat.
No, but the point is,
I know
he
point
was
is.
A Democrat.
Yes. And he was,
highly racist.
Yes. He was. He's probably better known for that, but maybe that's why nobody felt sorry for him when
Correct.
He was shot.
Yeah, he did not get a lot of sympathy.
He did not.
Not at all.
I actually
remembered that when he got shot.
Give us the next one, because I didn't know this one either.
Yeah, Gerald Ford. Yeah, took over for Richard Nixon after Watergate. Yes. And he actually faced two assassination attempts within 3 weeks of each other. That's the amazing part.
God.
1975, he wasn't hurt in either incident, but in the first attempt, Charles Manson disciple Lynette Squeaky Fromm, she pushed through a crowd on the street and she drew a semi-automatic pistol and pointed it at Ford, and they were able to grab her before she could fire it. And then 17 days later, you would think the Secret Service might be a little more concerned.
Yes, right.
Another woman, a woman named Sarah Jane Moore, confronted Ford outside a hotel in San Francisco. She fired one shot and missed, and a bystander grabbed her arm as she was getting off the second shot. So he fortunately was not hurt.
Okay. All right. So the first one that I remember in my lifetime, because I was 8 years old, and I do remember this, Ronald Reagan, March of 1981, he was leaving a speech in Washington, D.C., and he was walking to his motorcade when and surrounded by Secret Service, but he was shot by John Hinckley Jr., who was in the crowd. Now, you can go into the history of this, but John Hinckley Jr. was obsessed with Jodie Foster and was trying to get her attention, and she was not part of this at all. This came as a shock to her as well. Unfortunately, three other people were shot, including his press secretary, James Brady. And as most of you know, Brady was partially paralyzed as a result.
Yeah, and that's where we get the Brady Bill from, which is the handgun laws and things like that. But what I kind of find really fascinating about this is it mirrors the FDR one, where FDR was almost killed, or was it tried to get killed, you know, before he even took office.
Yeah.
Reagan had only been in office like 2 months.
Right, exactly.
And you know, again, you think if you took out, and Reagan was very close to death. And yeah. if you took out Ronald Reagan, boy, what a different world we live in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, give us the next one. Another one. I can't believe I didn't know this.
Well,
let's go
to George W. Bush in May of 2005. And everybody's going like, what? They did not. Yep. So Bush was attending a rally in Tbilisi in 2005 with Georgian. Tbilisi is a city in the province of Georgia,
which is the
former Soviet Republic.
Right.
President Mikhail Saakashvili. A hand grenade was thrown at him.
Oh, Jesus.
And both men happened to be behind a bulletproof barrier when the grenade, it was wrapped in a cloth, landed about 60 feet away. The grenade did not explode. In fact, the guy wrapped it in a cloth to deaden the sound when it hit so people wouldn't have any idea, but it actually hit the back of a young lady, fell to the ground, and because it was wrapped in the cloth, the handle did not deploy
the pen.
Yeah, the mechanism.
Okay.
And
so no one was hurt.
Unbelievable.
I can't believe this was not reported more because obviously I was an adult in 2005 and I was paying attention and I don't even remember this happening.
Well, again,
is that because it was outside the U.S. and everybody knew Bush?
Outside the yeah, exactly. Ding, ding, ding. Right, right on both of those. The media hated George W. Bush.
Yes.
At that time, he was.
Although he looks like a saint now.
He was Hitler. Yeah, he was Hitler back then.
Yeah.
And now we get to
Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
July 2024. We covered this 2 weeks ago on season 3, episode 12. That aired live on July 14th and on the podcast on July 15th. We're not going to go into that because we went into depth about it. And so has everyone else since then. But of course, Trump survived, although I believe he still might be missing a little tiny part of his ear.
Well, the inquiry, the investigation into this will be fascinating.
Yes.
So let's see how that plays out.
Okay. All right. So let's have some fun. We have a This Week in Wins, and we only do This Week in Wins if we have one. This is from KGW.com. We will put this in the show notes. But if you have not seen this video, you've got to find it. It's hilarious. So a Portland, Oregon woman kicked off a plane for harassing a Trump supporter. So this woman and her husband, she's in the middle seat. He's in the aisle. They were kicked off a plane from Baltimore to Seattle over the weekend. This was according to Alaska Airlines. And she is harassing the young man sitting in the window seat because he's wearing, I don't even think he was wearing a MAGA hat, but he's wearing MAGA gear.
He had a Trump shirt on.
So she demanded, this is what gets me. She demanded that the man sitting next to her be moved to a different seat because he supported President Trump. And he, before the plane took off, he recorded part of the confrontation with the woman on his cell phone. When it started, the moment he sat down. Now, to this young man's credit, he didn't say anything.
No. One of the parts I really love about this is Alaska Airlines. And this woman calls the flight attendant and says, I want him moved, you know, because he's wearing Trump stuff. And the flight attendant says, ma'am, you don't have the right to do that.
Yes.
It's like, bam. There
you go. Yes. So this is some of what she said to him out of nowhere, unprovoked. Okay. It's not like this young man came at her. Just because he's wearing the shirt, you pretend to have the moral high ground, but you put that man's finger on the nuclear button. That man doesn't believe in climate change. Do you believe in gravity? And she just keeps going. Now, flight attendants are coming over and talking. You know, she's like, I want him to change seats with someone else. There's no way I'm getting off this plane. And her husband, what's the word?
Cuckold.
Thank you. He's like shrinking in his seat. He's obviously so embarrassed by his wife.
Or just used to it.
Yeah. You know? But she just keeps going off like, we are not getting off this plane. we are going to my mother-in-law's funeral. And she just keeps going on and on and on. And the flight attendants come over. I believe the captain came over and they explained to her that by this point it was too late.
Yeah.
They were taking her off the plane. They were both escorted off the plane by police as several passengers applauded and chanted USA, USA. And then Alaskan Airlines actually released a statement in part that said the female passenger was insulting passengers in the boarding area and then on board the aircraft. Several passengers expressed concern about her behavior. We stand by our employees' decision to remove the disruptive passenger. Can we just give a shout out to Alaska Airlines?
Go, yeah.
Good job. Oh my God, this crazy woman. And then the young man wrote on his Facebook page, he said, as the lady was removed, I saw I was surrounded by Blacks, Latinos, Asians, and whites, all who had chimed in asking her to be removed and who had defended me. I was touched and moved, knowing later that not all these people were Trump supporters. The Black man who took the seat next to me was a registered Democrat, and he and I had a very good discussion about the beauty of free speech and coming together when people insult and commit acts of violence just for having differing views. That is what our show is all about.
Yeah, exactly.
It is 100% what our show is all about. Free speech, being able to disagree with someone who has a very different point of view than you. And what that woman did was shameful. And again, awesome Alaska Airlines.
Yeah, well, I find it quite ironic because when she said, and the quote was, you pretend to have the moral high ground, but you put that man's finger on the nuclear button. Okay, one, I'm going to do a Joe Biden. Number one, Trump's the most anti-war president we've had in a long, long time.
He really is.
Right?
Yes.
But number two, she'd rather have a man who is clearly mentally and cognitively challenged, if you will, have his finger on the nuclear button, so to speak.
Yes.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Good on you there.
I mean, yeah, I'm so, so happy that the airlines, that is a weekend win, that the airlines did the right thing. And saw that this had been going on in the boarding area. You know, I mean, they totally did the right thing and got this woman off the plane.
Yeah.
She would have been a nightmare the whole time. And that young man didn't do anything. All right, Edward, I'm going to turn over to you for our next segment. If you'll actually say it.
The week in WTF.
The week in what the fuck.
Okay.
All right, just get the censorship out of the way. We do have one. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's in the news a lot and we just need to put our little say in the 2024 opening ceremonies for the Olympics in Paris. It's just something I feel that needs to be addressed. When we watched the ceremonies Friday night, and thank God we actually recorded it so we could fast forward through.
Yes, we did.
12 hour, whatever it was.
It was 3.5 hours. Yeah.
Felt like 12.
Go ahead.
I mean, some of it was very cool.
Can I say what I liked?
What'd you like?
Yes. I liked Lady Gaga. I always love Lady Gaga. We both really liked the laser show on the Eiffel Tower. And I think personally, it was wonderful to see Celine Dion for what may be the last public performance of her life. She's really withdrawn from the public eye, given her very debilitating neurological disease. And she did a fantastic job. But now, Edward, give us the WTF. Because it was
Everybody's probably seen it by now. But
the
absolute mockery of the Last Supper, the painting of Jesus and his disciples. And they recreated it on a bridge, if you will. However, it was a bunch of trans men.
He's using air quotes for listeners.
Sorry, yes, trans men, which are men pretending to be women. So they staged a mock Last Supper scene. And one man even had his genitals hanging out. Yeah.
What does this have to do with the Olympics, people?
Thank
really?
You. Yeah. But why do we need to keep pushing this agenda into people's faces? Let's see how far we can go and say F you and then just keep going. I you know, you can mock anything you want. That's fine. But I never see anybody mocking Islam ever, right? Because you know what will happen to you.
Yes.
And it's just you're a bunch of cowards for doing something like this. And I love to see that sponsors are pulling their ads from the Olympics.
Yeah, there's some serious ramifications for this. Yes.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting is, as Edward said, we recorded it. We watched it and then realized, oh my God, it's still going. So we finished watching it on Saturday, the following day. But we were seeing in real time on X, formerly known as Twitter, French people apologizing, apologizing on behalf of France for this.
Yeah, they were tweeting out, "I'm so sorry we've subjected you to this, and this is not the France that we know." And
so, it was pretty terrible. I mean, I'm excited about the Olympics themselves, but
it is, and you know, also one little aside was the Jesus character that they had portraying, you know, Jesus in this mock Last Supper.
Yes.
Was a morbidly obese person. I'm not even sure if it was a man dressed as a woman or a woman.
I think it was a man dressed as a woman.
But again, we're talking the Olympics, of which you have thousands of highly tuned, unbelievable shape athletes. And here you've got, you know, a 400-pound Jesus.
And what does the Last Supper have to do with the Olympics anyway?
It doesn't. We're nothing. Pushing our agenda in your face. F you. And we don't care.
All righty.
Well, that was fun.
So thank you so much. If you joined us live today, please follow us on all social media platforms. So we are live most Sundays at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern, on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. However, next week we will not be live because this time Edward's out of town.
Guilty.
Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to play an encore episode from a previous season that we think will give you a little flavor of the show. We're going to look through the shows and see which one we think you might like. So there will be an encore episode. But please be sure, if you're listening to the podcast, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you're listening right now. The podcast always drops the day after the live show, so on Mondays. And please support our show by joining our Locals community. It's brand new. You can join the community for free. You can absolutely join for free. And then if you decide to support the community, you get more inside stuff. You can talk to us about topics you'd like to see on the show, talk to us one-on-one. But our goal is to really grow the community right now because we want to keep doing this.
Amen.
Yeah. Everyone we talk to says there's a real need for our show. And so you can learn more and follow us on all socials at myfavoriteconservative.show. That's myfavoriteconservative.show. Anything else?
I can't wait to get back in 2 weeks because we'll be finishing up the Olympics, heading into the Democratic National Convention.
I know.
That's going to be fun. So
that is going to be.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.